This is Nurse Gizzer News for the week of February 11th, 2019, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guest is Norm Barassa. Norm is a Principal Scientific Engineering Associate in the Building Technologies and Urban Systems Division in the Energy Technologies area at Berkeley Lab. On the weekends, you can find him in the Sierras teaching skiing to all levels. Norm, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Norm, today's topic is energy efficiency and environmental consciousness at NERSC. So, at NERSC, what are we doing for energy efficiency?
It's a considerable amount of work that's being done here. This new building that NERSC moved into in 2015, that's right. While I was a buildings energy efficiency researcher in the Building Technologies and Urban Systems Division, currently, Building 59, we'll refer to it, is close to 40% of the entire campus electricity demand. And as a result, we pay a lot of attention to the overall energy consumption of this building under the thesis that we can save energy using traditional energy efficiency techniques of commercial buildings.
Okay, so what kind of things are we doing?
I like to broadly include the energy activities at NERSC under three categories. The first being the compute energy efficiency of the computers itself. The second being the facility energy consumption to keep those computers going. And the third being the LBL campus's proactive purchase of electricity on the open market. In the third category, we're working with the lab directorate to give very accurate future power purchase projections for the building so that they can go out and they can buy and secure the renewable and the good energy and the California electric grid to ensure that we're operating cost effectively. In the second category of facilities, we provide the cool air and the cooled water to keep our high performance computing systems going and not curtailing any of the compute so that we actually can operate these systems as close to as possible at 100% duty cycle. Well, we want to do that as energy efficiently as possible. We happen to be located in a very, very climatically advantageous location where during the 8,760 hours that a typical year has, we actually can meet the cooling load for the compute systems in excess of 95% of the time of those hours by just bringing in the outside air or using our cooling towers to make cold enough water to keep these systems going. That is a highly energy efficient system that is the envy of the world, that allows us to operate basically at about a 7% energy overhead. What does that mean? We have something that's called the power utilization efficacy. This is something that is used to rate all data centers on how efficiently they are able to keep these systems operating. It's a pretty simple metric. It's calculated by taking the entire energy of the facility, meaning everything that is in the building to keep the computers going, plus the compute energy power draw, and divide that by just the compute power. You'll end up with a number that is somewhere for a typical data center in the 1.25 range. That's the average for the entire US for all data centers, high performance computing. We're hyperscale, so our computers are a little bit more concentrated than normal. So most hyperscales are typically in the 1.12 range. So that's like around 12% more energy to keep the computers going than to actually do the computing and the computers itself. Well, since May of last year when we implemented a live PUE calculation system, we have been averaging 1.07 PUE. So that means we can keep Corey and Edison and Mendel and all of our HPC systems operating with only a 7% overhead. This is a very impressive number that is the envy of a lot of hyperscale systems in the world. The first category which users here might be most interested in, however, is the compute improvements that have occurred generationally over each NERSC system that we've deployed. We're now in the process of deploying NERSC 9 Perlmutter, and our current workhorse system is Cori, which was NERSC 8, as most people know. And then the previous before that was Edison. With each successive generation, the compute efficiency, meaning the amount of computation that can occur over the watt draw from the system, has improved. Edison is 1/5 as powerful as what Cori was. So for a 5-time improvement in computational capabilities in Cori, it only increased the power twice. So that's an energy efficiency improvement that's been occurring generationally through all of the NERSC systems. And we're looking at a similar improvement from Cori to Perlmutter, with again only about a 2 times increase in the power improvement. This is something that NERSC has been extremely successful in doing from system to system. It's come as part of our mission statement under the Office of Science Funding to also improve the process of delivering scientific computing. And to that end, we've worked extensively with the vendors to improve their subsequent generation of computers to provide better computational capabilities, as well as to improve the information that we get from these systems in order to improve scientific computing in general in a socially conscious manner.
Right, okay. So we have been working a lot with Cray, is that right?
Yes. Cray, for example, is also dedicated to improve the performance of their systems. They have been working with us on each one of these systems. Perlmutter, in particular, is a transitional system in the sense that it's going to be moving off of combination air and water cooled from Cori, the Cori XE systems. Are hybrid in the sense that they use air to cool down the blades and the compute nodes as well as water. But the new Shasta cabinets are part of a next generation supercomputing cabinet where it's going to be using just what's called warm water. These processors operate at a fairly high temperature, and recently the industry started to realize that we don't have to produce such cold cooling water in order to keep these systems operating optimally. We can eliminate the compression cooling cycle, that meaning a big chiller that cools water down into the 45-50 degree temperature range, that's Fahrenheit, in order to bring into the cooling cabinets. Instead, we can bring up the water into the 78 degree Fahrenheit range and still be able to keep these CPUs and GPUs in an operationally stable range. And that saves lots of energy. This is a trend that's occurring in the industry, and as Cray is pretty much releasing with Perlmutter, the cutting edge of this trend. But it's an example of how NERSC, in collaboration with the vendors, is helping to produce even more energy efficient compute capabilities. This is something that users of the NERSC facility ought to be proud of being a part of, that we deliver this scientific computing platform in an environmentally conscious manner.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it also helps to know what's going on with the machines, right? So we have a lot of sensors and we have a lot of data that we're collecting.
Yeah, one trend that NERSC has created for the industry, when we moved into Building 59 in 2015, is the idea of improving these systems to be more energy efficient traditionally was more along the lines of current commercial building practices, where you identify a system that could be improved, then you would deploy a dedicated project to measure the data, confirm your hypothesis, and then put together a retrofit, an investment plan to improve that system. Early on with the deployment of Building 59 and in preparation for the moving of Edison over to here and the construction of Cory, the operations staff realized there's just so many systems in the NERSC facility. They were getting so complicated. There are so many things to watch. The reliance on an expert human that could keep track of all of this was just too overwhelming. In our research of the existing data instrumentation systems and data archiving products out there, we concluded that it would be easier to just highly instrument everything, gather the data, archive it in a non-relational database, a time series database methodology, which we use is called Elasticsearch, have the data so that it could be used when we saw that there was an issue and we could jump onto an efficiency improvement of that system more rapidly. This has proved to be very valuable, and over the years, NERSC has started to become the envy of the supercomputing world with our data instrumentation capabilities and the types of projects that we've managed to implement. We currently have about 10 energy efficiency improvement projects underway, touching both the compute systems and the facility cooling plant. And we've managed to identify over the last year roughly 2 million kilowatt hours of energy waste that we've saved, and resulting in close to $275,000 of operational savings. This would not have happened without the extensive instrumentation capabilities and the broad in energy efficiency ethic of LBL and NERSC in general.
Right, so now Cray has sort of adopted that, right, and kind of putting it in the next systems?
The next Shasta cabinets actually going to include Elasticsearch capabilities native in the system. They questioned why we were doing it in the first place with Cory and the XC systems, but now they've come to understand the value of this, and providing this instrumentation and data and keeping it on hand for a long period of time to be able to do post-analysis has proved to be very valuable, and Cray has embraced it, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So in addition to working with Cray, we've also attracted the notice of other centers that are interested in kind of following in our footsteps.
Yes, we're not the only national lab that is researching better ways of delivering high-performance computing at both the hyperscale supercomputing scale and the general data centers scale. So as I mentioned earlier, we're actually well situated for doing non-vapor compression based facilities, meaning this facility does not have a chiller. So we don't have an air conditioner per se. We have some air conditioners for human comfort, but for the computers, we don't do an air conditioner. So we obtain all of the cooling we need directly from the environment on this hill. We bring outside air when it's cool enough, and that cools the systems. And we have cooling towers which directly cool water. Basically, it's an evaporative cooler which uses that water to cool the systems. NREL has a research facility that is looking at doing both this waterside evaporative cooling, as well as something that's called a thermosiphon or a dry cooler, where you just use air to cool down water. They are researching the feasibility of using these types of systems for just conventional data centers across the country. As well, Sandia Labs out in Livermore and Los Alamos is researching these types of systems as well. But where we've attracted the most attention is the instrumentation using Elasticsearch and the high granularity of data gathering. And all of the supercomputing facilities in the National DOE network, that would be Oak Ridge, that would be Lawrence Livermore, Los Alamos, Sandia, and NREL, are now looking at how they can deploy at least the beginnings of that level of instrumentation. We have a working group called the Energy Efficiency High Performance Computing Working Group, which is funded in collaboration by the various Department of Energy labs, and is currently in the process of doing a case study of the NERSC history in deploying our instrumentation systems, as well as three targeted case studies of the various energy efficiency projects that have stemmed from the availability of this data. This is hoped that the other national lab facilities can draw on these lessons learned to indeed implement these same types of strategies in their facilities, as well as it is hoped that we can disseminate these methodologies to all the other hyperscale systems around the world. We have some Japanese systems that are interested in learning more about this, as well as some European facilities.
Oh, that's great. Some of the interesting energy efficiency projects that we've done have included optimizing like the fans. And
yeah.
Is that right?
We went on the ethic as you build it and they will come. That's a good way of describing it. The build it part was, let's build the capability of basically measuring and archiving instrumented data on pretty much every system. So we get all of these data flows directly from the compute systems, the onboard processor temps, power draws, fan speeds, water temperatures, and the same thing from the building central plant and the building management system. We archive all of that data. And when we see that, hey, you know, it looks like there's some energy being wasted here, the come part is, looks like we can do an energy efficiency project here. So we've built the data gathering and we build the various energy efficiency investment projects. Currently we have 10 projects. I'll just name some of them. We were able to improve the firmware and the software performance on our uninterruptible power supply systems, and that accounted for a fair amount of energy savings. We had not, for the data, we wouldn't have even known that there would be the capability of improving that area. We had 3 separate projects to improve our ability to make cold water from our cooling plant. That's the cooling towers, which uses an evaporative process to cool down the water directly from our moderate climate here in Berkeley. We had 4 projects to do that, adding extra pumps, adding a heat exchanger, resetting the controls and measuring the water temperature and controlling it to a tighter band of getting that water temperature. All of those amounted to close to $75,000 in energy performance savings. We improved the delivery of that water in the underfloor plenum of our compute room by installing what's something that's called bypass valves. This allowed us to only deliver the water, the cooling water, to the systems that was needed and not waste. That improved energy performance. Within the Cray cabinets, we worked extensively with Cray to get better control of the cooling fans in the Cray XC systems. And now we have the ability to shift our load between using those fans more or using the cooling water more, depending on the times when our cooling plant can make cold water more energy efficiently than actually spending the fan energy to just bring outside air in. There are times when that is a better condition. We've installed booster pumps to have occupants in this building be more comfortable, and we now reject that heat that we pull out of this space into our cooling water loop. So we actually gather heat from the waste heat of the computers. So imagine this, we found a way to, out of the water, all the water that's cooling the computers and the compute floor, that heat goes into the cooling towers and gets ejected into the environment. Well, now we grab a little bit of that heat, and through a heat pump, we throw that heat back into the office areas of the building to warm people up, because people need to be warm. And so that's an energy efficient way of getting heat, rather than actually using, you know, new electrons that have been generated elsewhere. So that's an energy efficiency project. We've also improved the airflow in our air systems with our cold and our hot aisle containment. So we have all of these projects that totals to about 10 projects that have amounted to what we estimate to be 2 million kilowatt hours of energy savings.
That's awesome. So Norm, our work with Cray on improving the energy efficiency has led to some really interesting breakthroughs that are going to be in the next machine in Perlmutter, and also that are spreading throughout the world.
Yes, Perlmutter is such an exciting move towards the next computing infrastructure. For quite a while, and I've been involved in the Building Technologies and Urban Systems Division, also part of the data center's energy efficiency research under the Department of Energy's Energy Efficiency Renewable Energy FEMP program. That was quite a mouthful of alphabets, but through the Federal Energy Management Program, they have been tracking the energy efficiency trends for data centers. And one that's been watched for a long time has been warm water cooling versus cold water cooling. Traditional data centers have operated on 100% water-cooled systems, the idea that the colder the water flowing through the compute blades, the better those processors are going to perform. But we've been questioning that hypothesis for close to 5 years now, and there's been the idea that, no, we don't have to spend all of this effort to make this cold 45, 50 degree water, which we normally do for humans. But humans have skin that requires a certain amount of comfort, and big chiller plants need that colder water to keep humans comfortable. But you know what? Computers can perform at a much warmer temperature. And now the industry has started to realize that, wait, we only need like 65, 70, hey, 78 degree water. You know what? We can provide that temperature of water much more efficiently. And with Perlmutter, the next generation of Cray supercomputing on their Shasta cabinet, Cray has totally internalized this idea. And they've produced a groundbreaking cabinet which we're confident is going to become the trendsetter in the supercomputing world. We are going to be refining the capabilities of these cabinets here, and we think that warm water, hyperscale supercomputing facilities are going to be springing up all around the world. And I think that NERSC users can really be at peace of mind in knowing that they are part of an environmentally conscious process of learning how to deliver these types of compute services with a smaller and smaller environmental footprint. We're very excited about our role in bringing the Shasta cabinet to the world, and Perlmutter in particular. We're pretty confident it's going to shake this world.
That's great. So Norm, switching gears a little bit here, how did you end up working on energy efficiency in HPC systems? It doesn't seem like something that children dream of when they're growing up.
Oh, I did dream of this. My first degree was electronics engineering technology in Canada from a very small school called Northern Alberta Institute of Technology. And in the late 80s, I was playing around on VAX computers and having a lot of fun with these big workstations. And I very firmly remember the Cray 1 and the days when that system first came out. And I remember saying to myself, boy, that would be fun to play around in that computer. But then life got in the way. And I got into professional video and I was doing other electronics work. But fast forward to me moving to California in 1990, I decided to study architecture at Cal. And before I knew it, my architecture degree merged with my electronics engineering degree. And I found myself in the midst in 1994 to 2000 in the midst of commercial building energy efficiency work in the California deregulated energy market. And before long, I was operating on the cutting edge of energy efficiency audits and commercial investment grade audit business. And by 2000, I had joined the Commercial Building Systems Group here at Lawrence Berkeley Lab. And after 18 years of researching better and better ways of improving the energy performance of commercial buildings and residential buildings, by 2017, here at NERSC, it became clear that there was a need to have someone on staff to help continually improve the facilities that were here, and I happily came on board. And the rest is history. And so now I'm working full-time here at NERSC to help keep us on the cutting edge of energy performance.
Yeah, well, we're glad you're here. So to finish up here, Norm, three things that you want NERSC users to know.
The first thing I would say is that they should be at peace of mind in knowing that NERSC, as part of its mission statement, is on the cutting edge of being environmentally conscious in delivering compute services. You don't have to worry that we're wasting energy in order for you to calculate your new model molecule you're trying to synthesize. It's actually occurring as energy efficient as possible and hitting the environment in a small way. The second one is we continually strive to improve that, and we work with the vendors to deliver better and better systems. So each generation, you can be confident that you are actually working on the most environmentally conscious, the most cutting edge system that is possible. It may not be the most powerful in the world, but it is the actual most cutting edge that there is. And third, you are in a small way helping to improve the scientific computing and the supercomputing world, because it's your use of this system and our mining of the data that you produce that allows us to feed back into improving scientific computing throughout the world. Because the things we learn on Perlmutter in particular, and the things we have learned on CORI, have propagated out into the world so that we can improve the performance of other systems.
Well, those are all really great, and I know I'm going to sleep really well tonight. So. Thanks for joining me today, Norm.